بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the ever merciful, the bestower of mercy. الحمد لله رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that exists. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبياء الله وسيد المرسلين. And may he raise the rank and grant peace to the chief of the messengers and the finest of his creation, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and upon that of his, and upon the members of his family and his followers until the last day, amma ba'd. As for what follows, then by Allah's grace and permission, we have gathered here at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, with our weekly lesson on Tafsir on this evening, the 16th night of Jumada Al-Ula, 1436. To study the Tafsir of Surat Ar-Rahman, and this is our sixth session in studying the Tafsir of Surat Ar-Rahman. And we have one remaining session after this, insha'Allah, to complete the surah, the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rahman. And we are broadcasting for Mirath Radio. May Allah Ta'ala bless its maintainers and listeners. And we begin with verse number 46 this week, insha'Allah Ta'ala. Of course, as usual, from the tafsir of the great scholar, الشيخ العلامة, the great scholar Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. He said, introducing the verse about the fear of Allah and what the reward is for those who fear the standing in front of Allah, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ جَزَاءَ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ. Then he mentioned the reward for the people of paradise, saying, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. And for the one who fears the standing in front of his Lord, then he shall have جَنَّتَانِ, he shall have two gardens. يعني, and this means, أَنَّ مَنْ خَافَ الْمَقَامَ بَيْنَ يَدَي اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The one who fears the standing in front of Allah on the day of judgment, فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَنَّتَيْنِ, he shall have two gardens. وَهَذَا الْخَوْفُ يَسْتَلْزِمُ شَيْئَيْنِ. This fear, the one who fears this standing, includes two matters. الشَّيْءُ الْأَوَّلُ, the first matter, الْإِيمَانُ بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ, to believe in the meeting with Allah, the mighty and majestic. لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَا يَخَافُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ تَيَقَّنَهُ. And that's because a person doesn't fear something, really, unless he is certain that it exists. وَالثَّانِي, the second of these two matters that are necessarily included in this verse, أَنْ يَتَجَنَّبَ مَحَارِمَ اللَّهِ, that he avoids the matters that Allah has made haram. وَأَنْ يَقُومَ بِمَا أَوْجَبَهُ اللَّهُ خَوْفًا مِنْ عِقَابِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And he upholds the duties that Allah has placed upon him in fear of the punishment of Allah the Most High. فَعَلَيْهِ يَلْزَمُ كُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَنْ يُؤْمِنَ بِلِقَاءِ اللَّهِ. Thus, this requires each and every person to believe in the meeting with Allah, Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic, لقوله تعالى, due to the statement of Allah, the Most High, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. O mankind, you are working and toiling about towards your Lord, meaning on your way to Allah, on your way to your Lord, and you are going to meet Him. That's from Surah Al-Inshiqaq, the sixth verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ مُلَاقُوهُ. And fear Allah and know that you are surely going to meet Him. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And give glad tidings to the believers. Verse number 223 from Surah Al-Baqarah. وَأَنْ يَقُومَ بِمَا أَوْجَبَهُ اللَّهُ. That he must fulfill what Allah has placed on him as a duty. وَأَنْ يَجْتَنِبَ مَحَارِمَ اللَّهِ. And that he avoids the haram matters that Allah has made forbidden for him. فَمَنْ خَافَ هَذَا الْمَقَامَ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So whoever is afraid of this standing in front of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, فَلَهُ جَنَّتَانَ. Then he shall have two gardens. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. Then which of the favors of your Lord do the both of you deny? Meaning jinn and mankind. سَبَقَ الْكَلَامُ عَلَيْهَا. The tafsir or the explanation, the details about that, they have proceeded. So we see here that we have to affirm the meeting with Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala has said, I'm adding this, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. And seek help in patience and in prayer. Verily that is something heavy or very large, big on a person. Except for the khashi'in, except for the humbly submissive ones. Then they've been described by Allah Ta'ala, and this is in Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Those who are certain that they're going to meet their Lord. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And that they are certainly going to go back to Him. The 45th and 46th verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. So Allah Ta'ala has described the khashi'in, those who have khushu', those who have submissiveness and humility, as being who? الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. They are the ones that are certain. Here the dhan in the Arabic language from يَظُنُّونَ means تَيَقَّنُونَ. They are the ones that have certainty that they're going to meet Allah, and they are surely going to go back to Him, subhanah. طيب. Then Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, says, ذَوَاتَا أَفْنَان. In description of these two gardens, they are two things that possess afnan. They have branches. Branches that are very high. أَي صَاحِبَتَا أَفْنَان. They are two gardens that have trees with branches. وَالْأَفْنَانُ جَمْعُ فَنَنْ وَهُوَ الْغُصُنْ. The word afnan is the plural of fanan. And fanan means ghusn, which is a branch. Right? The branch that has a fruit on it. And you'll see why that we say that. أَيْ إِنَّهُمَا مُشْتَمِلَتَانِ عَلَىٰ أَشْجَارٍ عَظِيمَةٍ. That these gardens possess trees. They have in them trees that are very large trees. ذَوَاتَيْ أَغْصَانٍ كَثِيرًا. Trees that have many, many branches. وَهَذِهِ الْأَغْصَانُ كُلُّهَا تَبْهَجُ النَّاظِرِينَ. And these branches, they are a delight to the eyes of those who would see them and look at them. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانَ. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you two deny? Meaning you jinn and you mankind. ثُمَّ قَالَ فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجِرِيَانِ. And Allah said in Surah, in the 50th verse, in the two of them, meaning the two of these gardens, in both of these gardens, for each person, there are two springs that تَجِرِيَانِ, they have jerry, they gush forth and they move along, springs of water that move along. أي في الجنتين عينان تجريان. In the two gardens there are two springs that gush along. وقد ذكر الله تعالى أن في الجنة أنهارا من أربعة أصناف. And Allah the Most High has mentioned that in paradise there are rivers of four types. فقال جل وعلا. And He has said, the Blessed or the Mighty and Most High, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ التي وعد المتقون فيها أنهار من ماء غير آسٍ. The example of the garden that has been promised for the people of piety is that there are within it rivers of water that is in a pure state, unchanged water, meaning water in its natural and pure state that has not been polluted with anything. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. And there are rivers therein that have milk that has not been spoiled. Milk that is fresh and not spoiled. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. And there are rivers of alcohol, or rivers of khamr, intoxicants, alcohol, that are delicious for those who drink them. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ أَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. And then there are rivers of purified honey. There are rivers of pure, purified honey. وَالْعَيْنَانِ أَلَّتَانِ تَجِرِيَانِ يَظْهَرُ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمَا سِوَى هَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارِ الْأَرْبَعِ. The two springs that are mentioned in the two gardens, they are what seems to be the case, and Allah knows best, they are other than these four rivers. They are something else other than these four rivers, or other than the sources of these four rivers. And the Shaykh says, and Allah knows best. We're going to see though that there are two more gardens as well for each person, right? وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. And again, beyond these two gardens for each person, whoever fears the standing of his Lord, then there are two gardens with two gardens next to them, or beneath them, or near them. So then we have a total of four gardens. And then you understand from the second two gardens that they would also have two springs. And so perhaps there is a connection, but Allahu Ta'ala knows best, because they are mentioned in fours. Now remember again the theme in Surah Ar-Rahman, the recurring theme of mentioning pairs of things, and pairs of things, as you have seen here in these verses. This is something we've seen again and again from the very beginning. The two kinds of water, the different kinds of vegetation, the two kinds of trees, those that have stalks and a base of the tree, and those that grow directly from the ground, like a bush. So we've seen things mentioned in pairs. And the whole surah, from beginning to end, is addressed to who? With repetitive affirmation or repetitive address, asking again and again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. It is an address to jinn and mankind. Again, a pair of responsible, accountable creations or creatures that Allah Ta'ala has created and made them accountable for their actions. So we see this recurring theme in this very beautiful surah, Surah Ar-Rahman, the surah of Ar-Rahman. Tayyib. He says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? And that's the 51st verse. And notice how, because this is repeated so often now, our Shaykh is not explaining it and not referring back to his explanation. It becomes very obvious that this is something which has been explained previously. Yet it is something to ponder over each and every time, and something to respond to for those who wish to have their interaction with the Qur'an at its highest possible level. When Allah asks a question, then respond to the question of Allah with something as simple as La bi shay'in, with nothing. In which of the favors of my Lord do I deny? None of them. And you interact with the speech of Allah as our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do when the verses of paradise were recited. He would ask Allah for what is mentioned. When the verses of punishment or hellfire were recited, he would ask Allah for refuge from what is mentioned therein, and so on. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was constantly interacting, and so we remind ourselves as well, let this be our approach, to be those who read the book of Allah as it was meant to be read, as it is best to read, with a heart that is not busy with other things, with a focused attention on the speech of our Creator, responding and reacting. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. The which of the favors of your Lord do you then deny, the two of you, O jinn and mankind? وَقَوْلُهُ فِيهِمَا مِنْ كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَانِ. And in these two gardens, the 52nd verse, there are of every type of fruit two kinds, or a pair. Zawjan, two of each and every kind of fruit. Ay fi hatayn al jannatayn. In these two gardens, min kulli faqiha, there is every type of fruit. Wal faqiha, kullu ma yatafakkahu al insanu bihi. And the definition of a faqiha in the Arabic language comes from the word tafakkaha, to enjoy, to be delighted about eating something. So everything that a person eats with delight, right? That's called a faqiha, or a fruit, right? And it's even similar, or there's a parallel here in the English language. We use the word fruit to describe someone who's extremely happy or overjoyed, even to the point where we describe the gay people with being fruits. Am I right? Is that still used in English today? Yeah? Tayyib. So, fruits, fruity, fruits, all these things that have the idea of colorful, exciting, and the homosexuals like to adopt that kind of terminology. Not that it's correct, right? Because what they are is dark and gloomy in terms of their actions and what they represent, but they like to adopt these colorful words. So they take the word fruit, and gay used to mean happy and lively, right? We had a gay old time. It was a very good time, right? So they've taken these happy, lively, colorful words and they apply it to themselves, while they know that they are overwhelmed in gloominess and personal self-hate because of the filth of their lifestyles. Tayyib. So how did that connect to our tafsir here? The word faqiha, the Arabic word faqiha, is everything that a person delights and enjoys. Madaqan, in taste. وَنَظَرًا, and they're nice to look at. They are enjoyable in taste, fruits, and they are beautiful to look at. وَشَمَّنْ, and there's something missing here. If you're with us in the Arabic printing on page 319, right in the middle of the page, you'll find مَذَاقًا وَنَظَرًا, only two things, taste and sight. However, in the original recording, the Shaykh said مَذَاقًا وَنَظَرًا وَشَمَّنْ. He added a third description. They are in taste, in sight, and in smell as well. When you smell fruits, you smell very, nice, exciting, joyous types of smells. فَيَشْمَلُ أَنْوَاعَ الْفَاكِهَةَ الْمَوْجُودَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. So what is in the paradise includes every type of fruit that is present in this worldly life. وَرُبَّمَا يَكُونُ هُنَاكَ فَوَاكِهُ أُخْرَى لَيْسَ فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And it's also possible that there are other kinds of fruits in the paradise that have no similitude in this life. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you then deny, you two, meaning you jinn and you mankind? مُتَّكِئِينَ عَلَى فُرُشٍ بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبْرَقٍ وَجَنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ. Relaxing, the people in paradise, relaxing, leaning back on mattresses or on pillows, or you could say on couches. بَطَائِنُهَا مِنْ إِسْتَبَرَقٍ. The insides of them being a very thick kind of silk. The insides of which are a very thick kind of silk. And some of the scholars of tafsir said, if that is the inside, then what about the outside? The inside is a very thick, beautiful kind of silk that was sought after in Jahiliyyah. So then what about the outsides? If this is the bata'in, what about the dhawahir? What about the outsides? Subhanallah. وَجَنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانٍ. And the fruits of these two gardens come down. The fruits of these two gardens, they come down, they descend. How is it? Let's listen to the explanation. أَيَّتَنَا عَمُونَ بِهَذِهِ الْفَاكِهَةِ حَالَ كَوْنِهِمْ مُتَّكِئِينَ, meaning they get to enjoy these fruits while they are relaxing and leaning back.
وَعَلَى هَذَا فَكَلِمَةُ مُتَّكِئِينَ حَالٌ مِنْ فَاعِلٍ وَالْفِعْلُ مَحْذُوفٌ
وَالْفِعْلُ الْمَحْذُوفُ أَيْ يَتَنَاعَمُونَ وَيَتَفَكَّهُونَ مُتَّكِئِينَ. This is a point about Arabic structure or Arabic grammar here. It means that the word muttaki'een, it's not muttaki'oon, it's muttaki'een. So we need a reason why in Arabic that we're saying muttaki'een and not muttaki'oon. Right? We don't need a reason to say muttaki'oon. We say al-muslimoon bi-khayr. We don't say al-muslimeen bi-khayr until we have a reason to change muslimoon into muslimeen. We need a nasib, right? Or some other actor that makes the noun change states here. This is for those of you who know about marfu and mansub and majrur and so on. So here they're muttaki'een, meaning yatafakkahuna muttaki'een. They're enjoying these fruits whilst they relax, in the situation that they are relaxing. Aywa wal ittika'u, the very word ittika from muttaki'een, they are sitting in a ittika position. Ittika, right? What is it? Qil innahu tarabbu'. It's been said that it is sitting what we call in English Indian style. Right? That's how Abdul Hafiz is sitting right now. Right? Because لِأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ أَرْيَحُ مَا يَكُونُ إِذَا كَانَ مُتَرَبِّعًا. Because a person, the most relaxed state of him sitting down and relaxing is when he's sitting in this posture. Right? Like our brother Simbal. You're sitting mutarabbi'an. You're sitting mutarabbi'an. Nothing wrong with it. Just describing your sitting there. That's the word is what? Atarabbu'. The posture is called atarabbu'. The person using that posture is called mutarabbi'. He's a person sitting with tarabbu'. Tayyib. It's been said that's the meaning of muttaki'ina, that they sit in this posture, right? Waqila muttaki'een, and it's also been said that muttaki'een means as well, ay mu'tamidina ala masanida min al-yamini wal-shimali wa wara'i dhahr. And it's also been said that it means they are relaxing, leaning back, leaning on supports like pillows or things like that on the right, left, and from behind them. Right? Ala furushin. So both positions have been held by the scholars of tafsir, that it means sitting Indian style with the legs folded one over the other in a way that's relaxing. Or it means leaning back on pillows or supports on the right, left, or behind, or all of them. Ala furushin ay yani jalisin. They're sitting on beds or on mattresses or on cushions, sitting back. Ala furushin bata'inuha min istabarak. The insides, the stuffing of such cushions or sitting mattresses, they are from istabarak. يعني بطائن الفراش, بطانة الفراش, the inside of the firash or the stuffing of this bed or sitting mattress. وهو ما يدحى به الفراش, it's what's stuffed inside of the mattress. من استبرق, it's from استبرق. And استبرق is said, this is outside of the tafsir of the sheikh, استبرق, it's been said it was originally استبرق with a calf. It's not an Arabic word originally, but it was originally Farsi, originally Persian. It's one of those words that became Arabic through the Quranic usage of it. So because the Quran has been named by Allah Ta'ala as being Arabic, so it's become a word absorbed into Arabic that wasn't something the Arabs used originally. And it's not based on istabaraqa from al-barq, from baraqa, and you add the alif, seen, ta in the beginning and it becomes istabaraqa. It doesn't have an Arabic root at all. It just comes from a Farsi word called istabaraq, with a calf. That's not relative to the Arabic system of building words with certain scales and so on. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. So istabarak wa huwa ghalidhu dibaj. It is a thick kind of silk, a very thick kind of silk. Wa amma a'la hadhihi al-furush, as for the outer sides or the top sides of these beds or cushions or sitting mattresses, fahuwa min sundus, then it is another kind of silk. It is made of sundus. وَهُوَ رَقِيقُ الدِّبَاجِ. It is a very thin type of silk. So you have the thick silk on the inside, the stuffing, and then the outside of these cushions is sundus, a very thin, light kind of silk. Huh? وَكُلُّهُ مِنَ الْحَرِيرِ. All of these are different types of silk. وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ. And the fruits of the trees of the gardens come down, danin. Originally dani, danin, to show the ya being removed, danin. Ta'ammal, think about this. Aw tasawwar, or try to picture it. Hadhihi al-hal, this situation. Insanun muttaki'un mutma'in. A person leaning back, relaxing, at ease, mustarih, relaxing. Yuridu an yatafakka. He wants to eat a fruit. Min hadhihi al-fawakih, from these fruits of the paradise. هل يقوم من مكانه الذي هو مستقر فيه متكئ فيه ليتناول الثمرة. Does he get up from his sitting place where he is seated and he's relaxing in so that he can go and take one of these fruits? بيّن الله بقوله تعالى ذلك. Allah has clarified that with this statement. وَجَنَى الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانٍ, and the fruits of the two gardens come down. قَالَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ, the scholars say, إِنَّهُ كُلَّمَا نَظَرَ إِلَى ثَمَرَةٍ, each and every time he looks at a fruit, وَهُوَ يَشْتَهِيهَا, and he desires it, he wants this fruit. مَالَ الْغُصْنُ حَتَّى كَانَتِ الثَّمَرَةُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. So the branch will come down so that the fruit is right in front of his hands, right in front of him, for him to grasp. لا يحتاج إلى تعب وإلى قيام. He doesn't need to get tired or to stand up. بل هو متكي. Rather, he continues to relax, leaning back. ينظر إلى الثمرة مشتهيا إياها. He just simply looks at a fruit and he has a wish to eat it. فَتَدَلَّ لَهُ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And so it descends down to him by the order of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. مَا أَنَّهَا جَمَاد. And this is while it is a non, an inanimate object, a fruit. It's an inanimate object as we understand things to be animate, meaning alive and moving, versus inanimate, not moving on its own, right? It's normally an inanimate object. Yet, it comes to him in paradise when he wishes for it. لَكِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَعْطَاهَا إِحْسَاسًا. However Allah in paradise gives these fruits the ability to sense things. Subhanallah. بِأَن تَتَدَلَّ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا اشْتَهَاهَا. So it comes down to a person when that person wishes for it or desires it. وَلَا تَسْتَغْرِبْ. Don't be shocked. Don't think of it as something strange. فَهَاهِيَ, this is interesting. فَهَاهِيَ الْأَشْجَارُ فِي الْغَالِبِ تَسْتَقْبِلُ الشَّمْسِ. Look at the vegetation that we see and how it faces a certain way and it moves. Vegetation in the life that we live moves. Right? It faces the sun. Right? أُنظُرْ إِلَى وُجُوهِ الْأَوْرَاقِ. Look at the leaves, the faces of the leaf. Right? Or the open side of the leaf. أول النهار تجدها متجهة إلى المشرق. In the beginning of the morning, with the sun on the east side, you find that the leaves face the east side where the sun is, because the leaves need to gather the sunlight to start their process of, you know, transforming the energy of the sunlight into whatever they, you know, need for nourishment. It's part of their nourishment, huh? Photosynthesis that we studied in biology that we forgot all those years ago. That is an amazing part of the creation around us. That these are the kind of things we need to go back and look at, because there are signs in these things, right? Subhanallah. That even in this life, we find the leaves of vegetation, they face the sun, right? وفي آخر النهار تجدها متجهة إلى المغرب ففيها إحساس. In the end of the day, when the sun is setting in the western hemisphere, you find those leaves have now turned and they're chasing and after the sun or facing the direction of the sun, leaning in that direction. So you see they have some kind of sense. They have some kind of senses that they know where the sun is and they are following to some level, right? Interesting. And that's in this dunya. So how, you know, think about how people would reject things in the hereafter, saying that's silliness. But look how we have something that resembles that even in this life. Why would you think it's difficult or hard to believe that the fruits of the paradise would come down to your needs? Or come down to your wishes, not your needs, because you wouldn't have a need in paradise, but to your wishes and to your desires. So you see one and you want it, and Allah Ta'ala has made that to serve you so that it comes down right in front of you for you to take it without any type of difficulty or getting tired. Subhanallah. كَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا جَنَّ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دَانِ. The fruits of the gardens will come down. قَرِيبٌ يُحِسْ. Come down, coming down close and having some kind of sense to know when to do that. إِذَا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ الرَّجُلُ أَوْ الْمَرْأَةُ فَإِنَّهُ يَتَدَلَّى حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. So it goes down and draws close to him, so it goes right in front of him because that's the one that he wants. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And so which of the favors of your Lord do the two of you deny? Meaning you jinn and mankind. فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. Subhanallah. Now Allah Ta'ala is going to mention the maidens of paradise. The ladies that are in paradise for the enjoyment of the men. Right? Allah calls them قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. The Shaykh is going to explain what that means. قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ could translate that to cover both meanings the Shaykh mentions here as ladies of exclusive beauty. قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. And either because the lady herself does not look to other than her mate, she is exclusive in her beauty, meaning she is just for that mate, she doesn't look to anyone else, or because the one who looks at her has no need to look at anyone else, and so his look at her is exclusive. Either way, there's some exclusivity here. It's exclusively that he looks at her, or exclusively that she looks at him. So the glance is an exclusive glance. The taraf is a glance. So qasirat al-taraf refers to either or both of those matters. Fihinna, in those, meaning in those gardens, أكثر العلماء يقولون إن الضمير يعود إلى الجنتين. فيهن, in them, most scholars of tafsir agree that it refers to in them, in the gardens, in those two gardens. وأن الجمع باعتبار أن لكل واحد من الناس جنة خاصة به. And that the plural is used, فيهن, is a plural for feminine things, and not fihima for two. And remember, the overwhelming theme of the surah is two things. So here, when Allah doesn't mention two things, as the ordinary routine has been in the surah, then the scholars of tafsir ask the question, why did he use the plural here and not the dual plural? And so they said, it is in consideration of that each and every person in the hereafter has two gardens, so there are many, many gardens, and it's not just that there are two gardens in the hereafter, but before it was mentioned that a man, someone who fears the standing with his Lord, shall have jannatan. And now we're talking about the jannas that exist, so now, fihinna, in them, all of them, not just two, but all of those that exist. وَالْوَجْهُ الْآخَرُ عَفْوًا فِيهِنَّ يَشْمَلُ الْجَنَّاتِ. Where did I land here? فَيَكُونُ فِيهِنَّ أَيْ فِي جَنَّةِ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْ مَنْ هُوَ فِي هَاتَيْنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. Meaning, in the garden of each and every one of those who have a garden in these two gardens, أَيْ فِي جَنَّةِ كُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْ مَنْ هُوَ فِي هَاتَيْنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ. In these two, I guess you can say larger gardens, each and every person who has a garden shall have قاصرات الطرف, these ladies of exclusive beauty. Right? أي نظرها عند على زوجها فلا تريد غيره. Her look that she looks with is only for her mate, and she has no need for anyone after her mate in the paradise. That's one way to understand the phrase qasirat al-tarf, that she looks only to her husband. So it's exclusive. Her beauty is exclusive. Her look or her glance is exclusive to her husband. والوجه الآخر, and the other way to understand قاصرات الطرف أي أنها تقصر طرف زوجها عليها, that her husband or her mate only looks at her, فلا يريد غيرها, and he has no inclination to anyone beyond her, meaning when he looks at her. وعلى القول الأول, in the first, taking the first position, يكون قاصرات مضاف إلى الفاعل وعلى الثاني مضاف إلى المفعول. There's some Arabic structure points there. And we'll go right to the statement, لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ, and that no human has laid down with them or had intercourse with them before them, and no jinn, meaning virgins, right? Virgins. أي لَمْ يُجَامِعْهُنَّ, no, they have not been engaged in intercourse. وَقِيلْ إِنَّ الطَّمْثَ مُجَامَعَةَ الْبِكَرِ, and it's been said that the word tamth, lam yatmithun, from tamatha, means mujama'at al-bikr. That means the deflowering of a virgin, or the initiation of intercourse with a virgin for the first time. The taking of the virginity of a virgin girl in intercourse. That's the meaning of tamth. So they have not had their virginities taken from them. Wal ma'na annahunna abkarun. لَمْ يُجَامِعْهُنَّ أَحَدٌ مِّن قَبَلٍ. The meaning is clear that they are virgins that none has had intercourse with before, مِّن قَبَلٍ, of before. لَا إِنْسٌ وَلَا جِنْ, no man and no jinn. وَفِي هَذَا دَلِيلٌ وَاضِحٌ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. In this verse is clear proof that the believers from amongst the jinn shall enter paradise as well. Right? Because there is a reference here that no jinn or ins has proceeded to these ladies and taken their virginity. Tayyib. Just before we continue on with the tafsir of our shaykh, there's a need to stop and discuss a point that is commonly spread by people who put their rationale in front of the texts. They say what? Something that's similar to the way the Christians believe. Christians believe, what do they believe about intercourse? Do they believe it's a positive thing? It's a normal, acceptable thing? What do they think about sexual intercourse? Christians, if you know a Christian who is practicing his religion, trying to behave in the way that his church tells him and so on, do you know his stance on intercourse? Does anyone know the old-fashioned Christian stance on intercourse? Even between a husband and a wife, I mean legal, marital intercourse. What do they believe? They believe it's filthy. They believe it's a dirty thing. They believe it's something that is shameful. Right? They believe it is, and I don't mean how we believe, that it's something private. They go beyond the idea of it being something private that you don't mention in front of others. They go into that it's filth. It's disgusting. It's only done for the sake of procreation. You only do it in order to have children. So they would go so far as to say then at the time when a woman becomes pregnant, then there is no need for intercourse with her. Because why? She's pregnant. Goal is accomplished. The only reason we do that is just to impregnate the woman. Right? So this stance, we don't have this stance. And our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forbid for us intercourse with a pregnant wife. Rather, you may continue to have intercourse with your pregnant wife. And it is not viewed as a disgusting, horrible thing. Rather, our religion, what do we say about intercourse? That even fi bid'i ahadikum, even in the intercourse of one of you with his wives is what? A sadaqah. Right? Not only sadaqah, not only charity, but hifd al-furuj, chastity. We believe that a husband and a wife coming together romantically and intimately, that they take care of urges and desires that if not taken care of, are difficult to manage. Right? So that matter turns into something that is an Islamic principle, right? That keeps us away from immodesty. It keeps us away from looking at ladies all the time if we are, you know, enjoying our wives romantically. It keeps us from straying. It keeps us from fornication and adultery. It keeps us from illegitimate relationships and sinful behavior, right? Look at the people who are so strict, overly strict in a way their religion hasn't asked them. Look at the people in the monasteries. Look at the priests. Look at the clergy when they take their vow of celibacy, that they will not have intercourse at all. And remember, we're talking about the Christians here. How do they feel about intercourse? Look at their more religious people. What's expected of them? Celibacy, no intercourse. Because why? They're on a higher level of religiosity. So once you are a more religious person, it's requested of you, or it's required of you, to not have a spouse and to not think of such matters. That you dedicate yourself fully to worship, to serving the church, to teaching and all of that. But look what happens as a result. Look at the shame and the disgrace that comes back on the Christian church with all of the matters that they face. And we don't want to mention anything that is scandalous or anything, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Such matters are a disgrace to them. And it is a rahbaniya, it is a kind of, you know, monkhood or priesthood that Allah had not requested from them, but they put it on their own selves. And they overburden themselves with it. And it's something that is difficult for a human being to fulfill. And so our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed us the sunnah of what? Marriage. And with that marriage is piety. We don't believe that marriage is just like intercourse with a married, with your spouse, is just a sadaqah, just protecting your chastity. We believe through this marriage and through this romantic behavior with your wife, you complete half of your religion. Right? That you complete half of your religion. So we don't believe that a person will be more complete religiously by not being married. Because he can worship Allah now without worrying about the wife or the children or anything. No. That Islam is practical, that even the best and most religious person will have a wife. May have two wives. He may have a large number of children. He may have a number of families to take care of. So a man in Islam who's complete, he's completing his religion, then what? He is someone who marries the women. And when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or when they asked about his practices, and they heard about his exemplary practices, they thought that they're going to take it a step further. Some of the people had a misunderstanding. They said, one of them said, I will not break my fast. I will fast every day and never break my fast. Another said, what? I will pray all night and never sleep at night. And a third one said, I will never marry the woman. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not praise them. In fact, he indicated that there is an inclination there against his guidance. And he said, من رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. Whoever has an inclination against my sunnah, then he's not from me. So we don't have in Islam that a more pious person should remain unmarried. We don't have that. While we have scholars in history that were never married, right? Instead of praising them for that, we excuse them for that. What's our stance on them? We excuse them for that. We say they were busy, they were overwhelmed with duties, or they had some other excuse. But we don't say this is a proof of his piety, like the Christians would. So, for example, Ibn Taymiyyah, one of the greatest scholars of history, An-Nawawi, Al-Hafidh An-Nawawi, never married. Ibn Taymiyyah and so on. So we don't say from his virtues is that he never married. We say rather, we make excuses. Perhaps he was very busy writing. Perhaps he was overwhelmed with responsibility. For example, Ibn Taymiyyah was a fighter in jihad, and he was in jail a lot based on the false criticism of people, and he was put to trial in different places. So perhaps these things interfered with any regular family life for him. An-Nawawi, we can say perhaps he had been planning on getting married, and he died before getting married. He died young. I think he died at either 36 or 46. Does anyone know his age when he died? It's either 36 or 46, something like that, 30s or 40s. So he didn't live a long life. So we can say perhaps he was planning on getting married, and then his lifespan that Allah had written for him ended. And so we can make excuses, but we don't praise them because they were not married. See the difference between us and the Christians. I say all of this, why? Because this, not knowing the distinction between the two stances, and how our religion not only supports marriage, but we support intercourse, fulfilling the desires of one's spouse, not only fulfilling your desire, but making sure that your spouse is satisfied as well, so her chastity can be maintained as well. She's satisfied, she's happy, she has no need now to look around. So you both protect each other's chastity and work together towards piety. All of these things are from Islam, versus these misconceptions that people misunderstood from the teachings of Isa ibn Maryam, from what they thought was the guidance of Jesus, the son of Mary. So as a result, the Christians do not believe in the hereafter having intercourse. They don't believe that you can encourage people to go to paradise by telling them that there are women there for men. And these women will receive you, and these women are there for your enjoyment. So they don't believe in this. They believe because why? Intercourse and sexual matters are filthy, and they are repugnant, and we don't talk about them. And this kind of stance, then this is not a reward for righteous people. It's not something for righteous people to be motivated by. Whereas look what Allah Azza wa Jal mentions for us. That in the paradise there are virgins waiting. Right? And for different acts in Islam, for example, a martyr, someone who dies in military enrollment, in a legitimate military enrollment, and he dies as a martyr in establishing Islam properly with a Muslim imam in a real recognized Muslim state, and he's martyred in that, then he shall have 6 exclusive virtues in the hereafter, one of them being 72 virgins. And this is one of the matters that the hypocrites and the non-Muslims mock about Islam. You Muslims and your 72 virgins in the hereafter, right? We say this is what Allah Ta'ala has promised certain people who achieve certain virtues. It's not for us to have a problem with that or ridicule that or rationalize and say, no, we don't accept that, as some people have done. From the more popular speakers is Yusuf Estes. And one of the things he denies is in the hereafter, on the way of the Mu'tazila, that in the hereafter there is no sexual intercourse. Right? And it's possibly because of his Christian background that he does that. However, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the 4 Imams, all of the Imams of the religion, have total consensus that in the hereafter, in the paradise, there is intercourse with al-Hur al-Ain, and there is not any differing in this ummah amongst its scholars, right? Throughout the history of Islam, until this modern age, when people began to review Islam and start to decide what they want to affirm and what they want to deny based on their faulty intellects and their desires. Only in this time we find people rejecting that. As-Salamasi, in the year, he died in the 6th century, he wrote a book about the ijma' of the 4 imams and the ijma' of the scholars. One of the more widely known books of ijma' when it comes to the 4 imams. He mentioned this issue, that it's the ijma' of the 4 imams and the ijma' of all the scholars. And he said they considered anyone who negated sexual intercourse as a reward in the hereafter as a disbeliever. The person exits Islam by negating it. Why? Because it's in the book of Allah. There's ijma on it. There's no room for us to differ on this issue. There is no angle for you to deny it. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it in the book. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spoken very, very clearly about the matter. Listen to this hadith, which comes in the Jami' of At-Tirmidhi in a chapter called Babu Ma Ja'a Fi Sifati Jima'i Ahlil Jannah. The chapter about the description of the intercourse of the people in paradise. Subhanallah. From the narration of Anas ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُعْطَى الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ قُوَّةُ كَذَا وَكَذَا مِنَ الْجِمَاعِ. That a man in the paradise, a believing man in the paradise, will be given the ability, the vigor, of such and such number of men as it relates to intercourse. And then they asked, أَوَيُطِيقُ ذَلِكُ, O Messenger of Allah, are they going to be able to, you know, to go on like that? They're going to be able to endure with this kind of endurance again and again. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined it more specifically, saying, "Yu'ta quwwata mi'a," he will be given the strength of 100 men. This hadith was collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and he called it a hadithun sahihun ghareeb. And There's another narration which has been collected by Al-Tabarani in his Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir. The wording is, additionally, بِذَكَرٍ لَا يَمَلْ, with an organ that doesn't tire. With an organ, you know the organ I'm talking about, with an organ that doesn't tire, وَشَهْوَةٍ لَا تَنْقَطِعْ, a desire that doesn't fade. A desire that doesn't fade, دَحْمًا دَحْمًا, orgasm after orgasm. Right? And it's been mentioned, collected all the routes of this hadith. There are others with more explicit matters that I won't mention that are talking about the intercourse of the people of paradise. With this being from the speech of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the speech of the one who Allah Ta'ala sent to explain the rulings of the religion, we have no shyness as it relates to conveying his teachings and inviting ourselves or reminding and encouraging ourselves about the great rewards that lie in wait for those who believe and work for that great reward. Look at Silsilatul Ahadith As-Sahihah as a reference, volume number 7, page number 1062, to see the different narrations of this hadith about a man being able to have intercourse again and again. Tayyib, you can also look in the English language. There's an article on Becca.net called From the Joys of Paradise, Sexual Intercourse. And it mentions a lot of these matters. Why are we mentioning it with these kinds of details? We wouldn't have to had there not been people who stand up to reject matters of our religion. The religion is easy. We can mention what Allah says and just simply affirm it, absorb it, believe in it. It becomes our religion, not have any problem with it. Except when people of innovation and deviation begin to spread doubts, like it's not befitting. Some of them said, like Yusuf Estes says, this is a tabloid mentality, where people who've been looking at too many naked ladies are interested in stuff like this. Can you imagine this? In mockery of a man who, he reads the book of Allah, and he becomes excited about paradise. He becomes interested, he becomes motivated to do good deeds, based on what Allah invited him to, he's being blamed as a person of what? Of a tabloid mentality. Why would Allah invite us with these things if we weren't to be interested when we hear about them? This is our nature. This is who we are. And Allah Ta'ala addresses us with what is befitting for us. We don't need people with their modern rationale to come along and say, that's not befitting. It's not befitting at all. We're not into hoochie-coochie girls, as the man said out of his mouth, to describe the people of the ladies of paradise. He said, we don't believe in hoochie-coochie girls. And these kinds of statements, if I were to say them, I know that I would be a disbeliever. Because I understand what's correct and what's not right. We say about that person that he doesn't understand his religion. And hopefully with Allah Ta'ala, he's excused from what he is saying. With that, we warn you against following his teachings because they are wrong and they are misleading. They are deceptive. Yusuf Estes. طيب. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which, after mentioning these now, the ladies of paradise, the maidens waiting for the men who work hard for paradise, which of the favors of your Lord then do you deny? كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. As if they are rubies and coral. Who are rubies and coral? These ladies, these beautiful virgin ladies waiting for us. Allah Ta'ala further describes them, that they are like Yaqut. Yaqut is a ruby, a red gem. One of the most famous gems. It is the, I think if you said, what's the red jewel? Everyone knows it's a ruby. Ruby red. Right? And then Marjan is what? Coral. So you have this white, beautiful coral and smooth coral. And then you have Yaqut, which is kind of translucent, you can see through it a little bit, and it's a very, very beautiful, deep red, very attractive red color. Ayfil husni was safa. They are in beauty and in purity, like rubies and coral. Wahuma jawharani nafisani. These are two kinds of precious jewels. Al yaqutu fis safa. They resemble rubies in their purity. In their purity. وَالْمُرْجَانَ فِي الْحُمْرَةِ. and they represent the corals and how they are red. And I think he meant to say the root is coral red? Huh? Some kinds of coral are they? I guess they pinkish or some kind of color like red. يعني أنهن مشربات بالحمرة مع صفاء تام. Meaning they are leaning towards a red, beautiful color with a beautiful kind of complete purity. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. Then which of the favors of your Lord then do you deny? ثم قال عز وجل هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان. Is the reward for doing good other than having good done unto you? هل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان. Is the reward for other than doing good, that good is done to you? يعني ما جزاء الإحسان. The question here means a negation. There is no reward other. There is no reward for doing good other than goodness that it is done to you. إلا الإحسان. الإحسان الأول العمل. The first إحسان being mentioned here, the first good action, the first good thing being mentioned is your action, your deed. والإحسان الثاني, and the second goodness being mentioned in the verse, the second إحسان is the reward. So is there any recompense, reward for a good deed other than a good reward? أي ما جزاء إحسان العمل إلا إحسان الثواب. There is no recompense of a good deed except that it is a good reward. And we remind ourselves that the principle in general about good deeds, about restraints from doing haram things, may be scary in this case. For you to fornicate, to involve yourself in adultery, to look at what Allah has forbidden you from, may lead you to being deprived of that in the hereafter. As it is established that the one who drinks alcohol in this life will not drink the alcohol of the hereafter. Al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Just like Allah says, is there anything but a good reward for a good action? Likewise, is there anything like being deprived of a good thing for failing to do a good thing? Or is there anything like being deprived of a similar thing that you have fallen into that you were not supposed to fall into? So we understand that whoever, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about gold and silk, whoever wear a gold jewelry or golden jewelry or gold and silk, whoever uses them in this life, he will not have a share of them in the hereafter. Look at how the recompense matches the deed. So what about these telephones that give us windows to things that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden us to look at? Do we want to deprive ourselves of what Allah Ta'ala is mentioning in the hereafter? Because it is very scary to think that that's what may be happening for people who take it so lightly. And they have these windows and they have these devices that they use to look at what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden in the most graphic of details. And may Allah Ta'ala save us from such a state of self-destruction. So we remind ourselves that looking even in the streets, that for example, there's a beautiful woman, disbelieving woman, no clothes, or not, you know, scantily dressed, not dressed properly, dressed to impress, hair done, a shape obviously to be shown and to be looked at. When the Muslim fears Allah and looks down, doesn't engage her and doesn't go and try to talk to her, but rather protects his chastity and cuts off that avenue of the shaitan, what's he doing here? He should be inclined towards and hoping for the reward of Allah Ta'ala and those that would be better, more beautiful, more wholesome, more enjoyable in the hereafter to be his because of his restraint. But think about the one who goes for them. Think about the one who goes after them. What will his case be when all of those beautiful rewards are waiting for the pious people in paradise and he has deprived himself of that by going after them in this life? No.
So does this ayah reflect that like the people, those who wear gold or silk, they will be deprived in the Jannah? So they could be in Jannah, but some of the benefit of Jannah will be deprived to them? Or is it that they will not enter Jannah?
Interesting question. The question is, The narration about people not getting gold and silk in the hereafter, they will have no share in the hereafter of them. The scholars have understood this threat to be a threat of being deprived of entrance to paradise by mentioning something that is one of the things that are enjoyed in paradise, and not that they will go to paradise and be deprived. Because to be in paradise, yet deprived, is something to despair of. To be in paradise and be told you may not have this. Deprival. We only know of descriptions in the paradise of, for this, for everything you see, you may have. And nothing is forbidden in paradise. The realm of things being forbidden and out of your reach, and you may not have that, that is this dunya. As for the hereafter then, nothing is off limits, and nothing is prevented from you if you are a person who's being rewarded in paradise. Tayyib. With that, lost my track here. Naam, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. That concludes my answer to that question. We'll hear the adhan here, and then finish up our lesson before the iqama of Salatul Isha, insha'Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Aywa, what I wanted to add to that, dear brother, was what? The last person to come out of the hellfire. There's a story, authentically narrated from our Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he will be the last person who's being burned in the hellfire from the Muslims to be taken out of the hellfire, the very last one. And his story is that he will be taken out of the hellfire, yet his face will continue to be in the direction of the hellfire. So he will beg Allah, and he will ask Allah, and swear that if Allah answers this prayer, he will ask for nothing more. Just turn my face away from the hellfire, and Allah will answer his prayer. Then he will see the gate of paradise, or a tree near the gate of paradise, and he will wish that he could go near that gate or that tree, I'm forgetting which one, and he will swear that if he gets this request from Allah, then he will ask for nothing more, and then Allah grants that request and gives him nearness to the gate. Then he asks to go inside of the gate because of what he hears and sees of the joys of paradise, and Allah Ta'ala responds by saying, مَا أَغْدَرَكَ يَا بْنَ آدَمَ. Oh, how contradictory you are, how you go against your oaths, O son of Adam. Enter the paradise, and everything you see is for you, right? And many times over. So the very thing that is said to the weakest person, the last person to enter paradise, the least of the believers, the very last one, is that he has everything that he can see, and many things that he doesn't see. So everything that he can see is for him. Meaning there is no deprival for those residents in paradise. And Allahu Ta'ala knows best. Then Allahu Ta'ala says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? وَمِن دُونِهِمَا جَنَّتَانِ. Then Allah goes on to describe, after everything that's been described about these two jannas, these two gardens, then Allah says, and this is again for that person who fears the standing of with his Lord, that there are additionally two more gardens. Additionally, two more gardens. Again, two pairs of gardens. Two pairs of gardens. أي من دون الجنتين السابقتين. After the two gardens that have been already mentioned, جنتان من نوع آخر. There are two gardens of a different type. وقد جاء ذلك مبينا في السنة. And that has come clarified with details in the sunnah, the reality of those. حَيْثُ قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. As the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, has said, جَنَّتَانِ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ آنِيَتُهُمَا وَمَا فِيهِمَا. Two gardens of gold. The vessels and everything else in the garden is golden. Right? وَجَنَّتَانِ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ آنِيَتُهُمَا وَمَا فِيهِمَا. And two gardens of silver, all utensils therein and everything else is made of silver. And that hadith was collected by both al-Bukhari and Muslim. And that describes what? Four jannas, four gardens for a person who fears the standing with his Lord. وَالْآيَةُ صَرِيحَةٌ أَنَّ هَاتَيْنَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ دُونَ الْأُولَيَيْنِ. And so this ayah is clear in that these two gardens are other than the two gardens that have been mentioned previously. They are additional two. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the favors of your Lord do you two deny? None of them, O our Lord. مُدَهَامَّتَانِ. Then there is one description here of those two jannas. They are مُدَهَامَّتَانِ. أي سَوَدَوَانِ. Two blackened or green to the point of appearing to be so dark in the greenness that they are like black. Very dark green, min kathrat al ashjar, from the multitudes or from the many numbers of trees in those gardens. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? Fihima aynani nadhakhatan. In those two gardens there are two springs that are nadhakhatan, ay tandakhu bil ma, that they gush forth. That they pop out, water pops out of these springs. Aitan bu'u, springing forth, right? وَفِي الْجَنَّتَيْنِ السَّابِقَتَيْنِ. Remember in the first two jannas, the first two gardens that have been mentioned, قَالَ فِيهِمَا عَيْنَانِ تَجْرِيَانِ. In them, in those two gardens, there are two springs, two ayns, one of the meanings of the word ayn that's used for the eye that you see with is an ayn, and the letter ayn in the Arabic language. And many other uses for ayn. You find the ayn, which is a spring with water that gushes forth. These springs in these two gardens have been described as bursting or pushing out water, but not a jetty, not running along in a stream-like way. Right? So there's a difference in the description here. Wal jetty akmalu min al-naba. And the Shaykh says here that it comes out and gushes along a path is more complete than the one that just comes out and gushes into some kind of pool or source of water. لِأَنَّ النَّبَعْ لَا يَزَالُ فِي مَكَانِهِ. As for the gushing forth only, then it remains in its place. لَكِنَّهُ لَا يَنْصَبْ. However, it doesn't pour forth into a direction. أَمَّا الَّذِي يَجْرِي فَإِنَّهُ يَسِيحْ. As for the one that does the jetty, it goes along on a stream or in a brook or something like that. Then this is something that pours forth. فَهُوَ أَعْلَى وَأَكْمَلُ. Then it is higher and more complete. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Then which of the favors of your Lord do you deny? أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَالَ فِيهِنَّ أَوْ فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَخْلٌ وَرُمَّانٌ. And as for in this garden, Allah has described it as having within it fruits and date palm trees and رُمَّان. رُمَّان are pomegranates. وَالنَّخْلُ وَالرُّمَانِ مَعْرُوفَانِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And date palms, pomegranates, these are things that are known in our life. وَلَكِنْ يَجِبُ أَن تَعْلَمْ. However, it's a must for you to know. And this is not specific to these last things that have been mentioned, but everything that has been mentioned previously as well. لَا أَنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَوِي هَذَا وَهَذَا. There is no equality in what we see in this life to what we will see in the hereafter. Al-ismu wahid. The name is the same. Wal-musamma yakhtalifu ikhtilafan kathira. However, the thing that's being referred to has, of course, a great difference from what we are used to. Wa-dalilu dhalika. And the evidence for this, qawluhu ta'ala, is the statement of Allah, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. So no soul knows what has been hidden for them of gardens of delights of the eye as a reward for what they used to do, for the deeds they used to do. That's the 17th verse of Surah As-Sajda. وَلَوْ كَانَتَ النَّخْلُ وَالرُّمَّانُ كَالنَّخْلِ وَالرُّمَّانِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And if the date palm trees and the rumman, the pomegranate trees and the fruits on both, if they were the same as the ones in this life, then we would say we know about what's in paradise. We have knowledge and we encompass what's in paradise, right? لَكِنَّا لَكُنَّا نَعْلَمْ. We would say in this case, we know, we have knowledge. لَكِنَّنَا لَا نَعْلَمْ. However, we do not know because Allah has said again, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ. And no soul knows what has been hidden for them. فَالْإِسْمُ وَاحِدٌ. So the name is one. وَلَكِنَّ الْحَقِيقَةُ مُخْتَلِفَةٌ. However, the reality is different. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And for this reason, Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father,
said, لَيْسَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِمَّا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا الْأَسْمَاءِ فَقَطْ.
There's nothing in the paradise of things from this world except the names of those things, meaning except their likeness by name only. And that was collected by Abu Nu'aym in Sifat al-Jannah. And with that we'll close for this evening, ending on the 68th verse, ending our sixth session of the tafsir of Surah Ar-Rahman. Looking forward to, insha'Allah ta'ala, our seventh and final session in 2 weeks' time. In 2 weeks' time, as the tafsir class for next weekend and the activities for next Friday and Saturday are postponed for the week afterwards, cancelled in essence. Asking Allah ta'ala for success, and that He blesses us with understanding of His book and actions in accordance with that proper understanding. وصلي اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.